The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It is a Friday. Thank goodness for that. How you doing, handsome? What's going on today? How'd it go last night, big boy?
Oh, we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun over at the tavern, too. The K-Train was there. Ken Kreitz, he was asking about you, but I said
I'm busy last night.
You were too busy being a floor hockey star. Did you score any goals or not?
I had the game-winning assist. We won 6-2.
I don't care about assists.
Well, you're selfish. That's the way you are.
What guy has ever gotten a girl, hey, baby, I had 4 assists last night? Hey, who cares? How many goals did you score?
Part Wayne Gretzky. I'm part not Wayne Gretzky. I had we were up 2-1 when I had the puck, right? And it was to the right side of the net. I passed the puck under my legs, under the defender's legs, to my open teammate who slammed it home to make it a 3-1 lead. That was the game winner. I had 2 assists. I could have actually had a goal and assist, but the one goal we scored was me and another guy on my team. And both of us kind of just slammed home the puck. You know, it was like a one-timer. And both our sticks hit it. But I'm like, I can't take a goal like that. Mine has to be, like, definitive. So because we weren't sure, I'm like, no, that's yours. I'll just take an assist. And so I did get to check a few people.
Did they laugh you out of the gym with your gloves on?
No. And let me tell you something. They thought I was being too physical. I got slashed. So I got slashed in the shins. So I came back and knocked somebody on their butt, and she won't do that again to me. because there was one girl on each team. So I feel bad what I did to her because I stepped on this guy's foot and gave him a forearm check and knocked him to the ground, and I got a penalty for that.
Yeah, so did you have to go to the penalty box?
No. They said, hey, you got to be careful. And I'm like, okay. And then
are there referees?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple refs. And then I checked the guy into the brick wall. And it was getting physical. So, I could have had a couple of goals. It was just, I haven't played in like 40 years. But it was a lot of fun, Brady. You'd have a blast on that. It was a total lot of fun, man.
Look, it was a great, I'm sorry I missed that. We had a great time at the tavern, too. Remember, every time you go hang out with us on these Thursday night events, you can win $1,000. You can also qualify to win a pair of Patriots tickets. We give away a pair of Pats tickets every 4 weeks. You're instantly qualified by going to those events. That was the fun part of my night. The bad part of my night was I fell asleep. Like, I went to bed.
Right.
And I woke up in the middle of the night at, like, 5 in the morning.
Oh, get out of here.
And I hit my head. I hit my head with my hand, forgetting that my staples were in there, and I drove my staples into my head.
You got to take those out. When are those going to come out?
Like next Tuesday.
We are going to have a contest, and winner gets to pull them out of your head with rusty pliers. I'm serious about that. No, you're laughing. I'm being serious. But Ken was there with the whole crew. He brought a whole big crew with him.
Ken Kreitz brought a whole big crew, brought his whole league. And
Listeners were there.
It was a fun time.
Right. Brady, did you just like pat yourself on the head and go, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that? Like, what do you mean you hit yourself on the
like
head?
I was
like, to wake yourself up?
I was remaneuvering my pillow, and I ended up hitting myself in the top of the head, like rubbing my wrist.
Are your staples not all the way in your head?
They're not all the way in.
Then pull them out, man. Nope. just do that, man.
All right. Speaking of ripping things off,
a lot to get to. You did that. Tell everyone. And, of course, we have one event that we do have to cancel. Even though, because some of the stuff we make all the time, every Thursday you're going to be out and about. One event we're not going to be able to make. Tell me which event we're going to be canceling.
Is that the Patriots Super Bowl party?
No.
What event are we canceling?
The car wash this year. Because there ain't going to be no car wash this year.
I was pretty close.
You were good. You were close on that. You got me by now. After a year, you caught on to that, Brady. Tell everybody what we're talking about.
Well, we're talking today. We got a whole lot to get into. Patriots, Chiefs, we'll take your reactions, your overreactions, your hot takes. We'll take them on the phone lines. We'll take them on the text line. You want to defend the Pats? Get in. Isaiah Thomas, Brandon Lang, right. Power play, all the above.
And Jason, with the turn on your mic real quick, can you tell me who's on the line right now? Who do we have on the line?
Nobody.
No calls.
No calls.
Brady, read some of the texts we've gotten in today so far.
We've only got a text from an angry text from last night.
Wow. this is like the first. Is the microphone on today?
Yeah.
Testing. You sure it's on? This is like the first time we've done a show in a year that we've never had a phone call or a text as we've done the show. Is this on? Can you hear that? Did I just break? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Are you just going to get your gloating out of the way and then let's talk?
Hello? Is this thing on? The gray fox jumped over the white fence. You know what that is? That's from typing.
No, it's the big brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Yeah, that's typing, isn't it? Isn't
yes.
It? Yeah, yeah.
That's the ESPN commercial with the donuts on the... Yeah.
I guess we might not be on the air. We have dead air? Hello? Hello? Patriot fans? No? Nobody left. Nobody left there, Brady? I'm a little concerned.
Alex from Burlington just texted in and said he likes my fantasy team way better than yours because I put them on Facebook.
Wasn't there a game last night? Wasn't there a Patriot game last night? So that puts an end to that baloney, huh? No car wash. No 16-0. No Super Bowl for you.
All right.
No nothing for you. Oh, and by the way, did I mention the end of Tom Brady?
Stop.
Oh, yeah, because there's a big market for 40-year-old quarterbacks that are just average.
Oh,
making
stop.
A boatload of money.
Stop.
Go ahead. Don't blame the messenger. Look,
stop.
You could tell how many people, nobody texting in because Patriot fans want to jump off a bridge. Nobody calling in. You better check the phone lines. You better get somebody out here to check the phone lines. Maybe there's something wrong with them.
Look,
yeah,
you had your moment of gloating.
I want to make sure that it works.
Let's talk about the game.
Yeah, go ahead.
In terms of the game, we've got it from a whole lot of different angles throughout the course of the show.
Yeah.
The Pats did not look very good. But remember this.
Yeah.
They still put up 27 points against a team that was 7th in points allowed last year. So don't act like the death of Tom Brady is imminent. Now, the team did not look great. Defensively, we'll get into that. They looked atrocious, especially in the second half. Offensively, it looked like Brady... He still led multiple scoring drives, 27 points. Gillislee had 3 touchdowns. Brady looked out of sync with his receivers, especially his new receiver in Brandon Cooks. Gronk, certainly the effect of Edelman not being there, I think you saw it because Gronk was hindered. That said, I'm not ready to cancel any Super Bowl parades. I think this game said more to me about Kansas City than it did about the Patriots.
Wow.
I've been saying it for months. I think the Chiefs and the Steelers are the only teams in the AFC that can beat the Patriots. What do the Chiefs do well? Well, one, they have a physical defense. Two, an experienced head coach. Three, a quarterback. Call him a game manager all you want. He's not going to lose you the game, and last night he may have won you the game.
By the way, go back to Matt Verderam yesterday when I asked him, are we going to see Alex Smith maybe open it up a little bit more this year, starting off right now because he feels like he can take advantage of the secondary. Go ahead and pull that tape out and see what he's got to say to that because I was right on that one, Brady.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that can we really say that he opened it up and aired it out? The Tyreek Hill touchdown was
Tyreek
total.
Tyreek Hill called that one.
But it was total busted coverage.
No. He called that play. Tyreek Hill called that play.
Okay,
yeah.
But it was still busted coverage.
Right.
Devin McCourt.
Right. That was horrendous. Defense.
McCourty messed up there. That wouldn't have been wide open if McCourty had played the right right in the secondary. And the one thing I'll say for a team in the Patriots that usually does the out scheming, they don't get out schemed. I think the Patriots got out schemed a little bit yesterday. The Chiefs used a lot of motion, a lot of different formations, and the touchdown, the pass that Kareem Hunt caught, the 80-yarder. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse for Cassius March, a special teams defensive end, to be covering a running back 30 yards down the field.
See, now you live in Essex Junction. I don't want to tell everybody your address, but you live in Essex Junction. Up in Williston, I saw a different game. We must have had a different team.
I was at the Tavern 2 in South Burlington.
Okay, well, you were in South Burlington. I was in Williston, and Williston had a different game on. So maybe you should come up to our neck of the woods, because the game I saw had a team called the Patriots that looked old, that looked tired, that looked slow. They had a lack of personnel. Even the people that you thought that were going to be good in the secondary weren't good. They weren't prepared. They've got injuries. We haven't addressed Amendola going down. All of a sudden, a deep wide receiver core is no longer deep. All of a sudden, a superior secondary is no longer superior. All of a sudden, the best quarterback in the history of the game is no longer the best quarterback in the history of the game. The only thing maybe I was wrong about might have been the running game, who had 135 yards. But other than that, this team looks about as bad as I've ever seen a New England Patriot team look in maybe the last 10 years. That is what's coming up. That is what's in store for the Patriots and the Patriot fans this year and next year and from here on out. That's what's good. Congratulations. That's what you're getting.
Remember this also. Luke in Burlington brings up a good point on the Town Fair Tire text line. The Patriots were up 7-0. Kareem Hunt fumbled on the first play some scrimmage for Kansas City.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were almost down 14-0. Remember the Gronk touchdown that was just overturned?
Yes.
If it's 14-0, what are we saying today? Yeah. And even then, what if Gillislee gets fourth in inches and they don't have to kick that field goal early on in the first quarter? Well, I understand what it could have, should have.
You're giving me the Gronk thing. You're giving me the two stops on the fourth down. Well, let's give the Chiefs a little bit of – that's three plays that they went ahead and stopped them on there, Brady.
Well, the Gronk catch was a drop. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been a tough play.
Okay.
But you talk about coverage all you want. Gronk caught that ball and ended up losing it on the way to the ground. If it's 14-0, we don't know what we're saying today. The Chiefs, I think, are a good team. I've been saying that for months. I said it yesterday. You have them out of the playoffs. And I think that's why this is so shocking and jarring to you. You, when we gave our predictions yesterday, you had the Chiefs out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
you
didn't. I had them winning 31-28, but I did have them out of the playoffs.
You
yeah.
don't have any respect for the Chiefs, really, as a team.
No,
you have them even in the top six of the AFC.
No, but I did say yesterday that that division is the hardest, and you could take any one of the four teams. And
true.
It is going to be a bloodbath. I mean, 10-6 may win that division, Brady.
I think that the Chiefs are a team capable of getting a top two seed in the AFC. I think they're that good, and I think we saw them at their absolute best yesterday. Now, you lose Eric Berry for the year as the Chiefs. Now, who knows where their season will go, but I think you saw them at their absolute peak yesterday. As for the Patriots, again, the defense looks suspect, for sure. The questions we had about the pass rush, they exist. There was not a lot of pressure gotten on Alex Smith, and you want to blame the secondary. But a great secondary
can't do
anything without a pass rush.
And I said that yesterday, too.
Okay, but so it's not that the players in the secondary are bad, but you got to get some push up front, because if you're going to get to the quarterback in 3 seconds, that helps your secondary. If you're going to get to him in 8 seconds, no cover corner can cover that long.
Now, I know you read this, but read it again, Luke in Burlington, because he's the only one texting in, so let's just read his over and over again, because obviously Patriot fans are not texting in today for some reason, Brady. So we'll just read Luke's for the whole 2 hours. We'll just go ahead and read that one over and over again. Can we do that? Would that be okay? Is that fine?
If it was 14-0 Patriots, what are we saying today?
I'm telling you guys, all of a sudden, Patriot fans, you can't be found. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. A little bit despondent. I think Patriot fans know that it's the beginning of the end of the today.
Number one, every great team does come to an end, whether it's the Celtics of the mid-80s, the Lakers of the mid-80s, the Bad Boy Pistons, the Bulls. Every team has their day. I'm not ready to say this is the Patriots'
day. Yeah, but
the Patriots' day
ended last night about midnight. Nah, it should ended today. So that's why we're lucky.
I'm not ready to say that.
Yes, Jason.
This team, we thought they were done in week 3 2 years ago, then they won the Super Bowl.
Well, we're not always wrong. We might have been wrong then. We ain't wrong now, that's for sure. What, Jason?
You guys need to relax. Everybody needs to relax.
No, we don't
I think
need
the Patriots
relax.
Fans, though they're in hiding, I don't think they should be freaking out as much as they are. You got to give some credit to Alex Smith. He was 28-35 and 4 touchdowns.
He was 20-23 at one point. I am dancing on the Patriots' grave like I've won the lottery. What is wrong with you? Are you kidding me? Today should be a holiday. It should be the anti-New England Patriots Day, the day the Patriots no longer dominate. Forget the NFL. They're not even going to win the AFC East. I tweeted out yesterday. I was going to take today off so I could go to Vegas and bet all my money on the Dolphins to win the AFC East. If it's not too late, who knows? I may take Monday off. I may have to go to do that, Brady. I may do that.
Another reason why you can't cancel any parades is because they do play in the AFC East. Even if you're right in a hypothetical world and they're not as good as I think they are, they're still good enough to beat the Jets, Bills, and the Dolphins. Please do not start me. You can miss me with that hot take.
Someone says, I'll text in if that clogged sinus voice shuts up, please.
Why is he talking about Jason like that?
Yeah, I thought he was talking about you. I don't know. I'm not sinusy, that's for sure. And Kevin in South Burlington, if Alex Smith can ball like that last night, they'll be tough this year. Let me explain something to you. First of all, they lost Berry. They're not going to be as tough as you think they are. I think now it's the overreaction on the Chiefs side, because remember, like you said, you think the Chargers are going to be better. You think Denver's going to be a pretty good team, or I do at least. And
Oakland.
And Oakland. Well, damn. I mean, some people think Oakland could win the Super Bowl. So I don't know what makes you think that Kansas City just going to rise to the top in that division and, you know, nobody going to be around them. Brady.
I like Kansas City. I've liked Kansas City for a year. I thought that they were going to be good last year, and they ended up choking it away in the playoffs. But I think for the regular season, I think that team is very, very viable in the AFC.
Patriots won't even win the division now this year.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not. First of all, okay, again, in Williston, I saw a slow, old, out of shape, didn't know what the hell they were doing. So many injury, New England Patriot team. Tell me when you've seen, when's the last, I guess we have to go back a couple of years to the last Kansas City game is the last time they played this crappy.
See,
I guess.
Think about this.
Yeah.
Much like Bill Belichick said today, I'm not living in the past, and you shouldn't either. I'm not comparing this Patriots team to Patriots teams of the past. I'm comparing this Patriots team to the teams in the AFC East right now.
Okay.
The Jets are among the worst teams. I'm convinced the Jets will be one of the worst teams in NFL history.
If the Patriots play like this every game, they're the third best team in the AFC East. If they play like this every game, they will. Let me tell you something. If you don't think giving up 41 points at home in what was perhaps supposed to be the biggest great day of Patriot history like this, I mean, that's just an embarrassment. They just got smoked in the second half.
Yeah,
shame on them.
And I understand that too. But the Jets are awful. The Bills, I keep saying they're 1 foot in and they're 1 foot out. It's almost like they're 1.5 feet out and half foot in. And as far as the Dolphins, you want to talk about the Patriots. Here's what the Dolphins have. The Dolphins have a pretty good wide receiver crew, a couple of good pass catchers, and they've got a quarterback who was on the couch eating bonbons 3 weeks ago.
I guess we're not talking about a great running back in Jay Ajayi also. Forget about him. He doesn't count.
We're talking about an off-injured Jay Ajayi.
And by the way, Dolphins have a damn good defense also. So, you know, we could make as fun of them. Kermit and Winooski said, if the Pats don't win the division, I'll wash Arnie's car. Well, you know what?
No, I'll wash cars with Arnie.
Oh, with Arnie. Well, there's not going to be a car wash this year. That's not going to happen. Luke says that if the AFC East is so awful, if the Pats go 9-7, they'll still win the division. Notice expectations starting to go down. It went from 16-0 to, well, if we just go 9-7 or 10-6, we'll still win the division, Brady. No 16-0 this year. That was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's all right. I'm fine with that. I still thought this team was a 13-14 win team. Even if it does go down, they win the division. But I'm still ready to say this team will figure it out if they can stay healthy. That's the if for every team. It's not an excuse. It's an if for every team.
All right, for the three Patriot fans left in all of the Northeast, you can get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. That's for the three Patriot fans that are left out there. I guess we should start talking about who we're going to carry next year. I think it should be the Giants. Are we still gonna, we're not going to carry a last place team next year, are we, Brady?
Let's
Is that what you're
going to
tell me? Come on
Let's
now.
Let's take a break.
I'd say, you know what? If we're going to carry better teams, we should carry the Jets then. All right, when we get back, though, oh my goodness. When we get back first, I'm sure a lot of people are going to yell at me, but we'll take a look at the numbers of what happened yesterday. That's all coming up right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Mike and Mike, when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home.
Yes, I'm free.
Sports Talk lives right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody, on this glorious, glorious Friday. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3
ESPN. It's raining. How can it be glorious?
Is it raining out? I didn't notice that.
It's been raining all day.
I thought it was 90 and sunny out.
No.
No?
Definitely not. And how many goals did you score in floor hockey yesterday? Oh, that would be zero.
Wow.
I bet the under, so what do I win?
Wow. Yeah, I could have counted it as a goal. It's a money-back bet there.
Well, I should
have no bet there.
I should take all my money, go to Vegas, and bet that you won't score a goal again.
Well, I'll do that next game. Next Tuesday is my game. Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 655-6672. What does Josh and Underhill have to say?
Josh and Underhill, the Patriots never look to hit stride until roughly Thanksgiving. This loss for the Patriots is perfect because Belichick can teach the new players and the young players what winning is all about, and they can fix their scheme issues they had yesterday.
Okay, obviously Josh and Underhill new to watching the NFL under the Patriots, so never hit their stride until Thanksgiving, right? Is that right?
Because, well, when you're starting out 9-0, you generally hit your stride earlier. But again, the team, Belichick has always really said that the season doesn't really start until Thanksgiving.
Michelle and Underhill has a question, wants to know, just out of curiosity, no other reason other than curiosity, wanted to know how many touchdown passes did Brady have last night.
That would be zero. However, he led three touchdown scoring drives.
Can I look that up? Are you sure about that? Can I double check that?
He led three touchdown scoring drives.
And he had no interceptions.
That wasn't the question. Michelle Underhill wanted to know how many touchdowns. Okay, she didn't ask interceptions. If somebody wants to text in and ask how many interceptions did he have last night, I'll gladly give the answer. But the question was, how many touchdowns did he have last night? The answer was, Brady, zero.
The answer was zero.
Okay, so I just wanted to go ahead and make sure of that from the best quarterback in the history of the world. What numbers do we have in the game yesterday?
This game was historic, and if you're a Patriots fan, there's really no way around it. I can't believe that I'm forced to play the role here of Patriot sympathizer.
Yeah, because the only Patriot guy left.
Well, see, I'm not a Patriot fan. Yeah. I'm sitting here wearing a Seahawk jersey, but I also...
That's close enough.
It allows me, I think, to be objective in this. What we saw last night is not the true Patriots, and it won't be the Patriots going forward. But here's the history aspect of this game, and it's pretty remarkable. 42 points allowed is the most ever by a Bill Belichick Patriots team. 307 games, including the playoffs. That's the most points ever.
What? What did you just say?
42 points allowed, the most ever by a Bill Belichick Patriots team. 307 games.
No wonder I thought they looked old, tired, and slow. I was right. Go ahead. What else?
42 points allowed are the second most ever by a defending Super Bowl champion in a season opener.
Well, that's no big deal.
Okay. How about this one? 537 yards allowed are the most given up by a Bill Belichick head coach team ever, Cleveland or New England.
You mean the defense is worse than the Browns is what you're saying?
The Browns of the early 90s.
Oh, my gosh.
537 yards allowed.
I'm going to say red flag, warning flag. Warning flag on the defense, which I've told you there's a problem. Red flag, everybody. That's a red flag. If you're asking me that, that's like a kid playing with matches and burns some of the stuffed animals. Red flag there. Red flag.
This is the stat, and I have something else that backs it up. This is the stat that bothers me the most. First home loss ever since 2000. So in the 2000s. It's the first home loss when leading at halftime.
Yeah.
Since December 24th.
I was going to ask you when's the last time they lost a game up by 10.
87 straight games they've been leading. They've won when leading at halftime. And Arnie, this is the other thing that scares me. If we're pulling back my objectivity, this is the thing that scares me about what the Patriots did yesterday. The Chiefs turned the ball over. The Patriots didn't. The Chiefs doubled the Patriots in penalties. And the Patriots still lost by 15.
Yeah. What were the penalties, you know?
Off the top of my head, the Patriots only got penalized like four or five times.
Right.
Two of them were in the same punt sequence.
I know at one time it was 11 for Kansas City. So I stopped counting.
Kansas City was the more penalized team, and they're the team that turned the ball over, and they still won by 15. Yep. That's the problem. The Patriots are the team that capitalizes on your mistakes, and they not only didn't capitalize yesterday, they got exposed even with those extra chances. That's the thing that would bother me.
I haven't seen a Patriot defense look this bad ever. Brian and Richmond said they got beat down and tired in the fourth quarter. That's the game I watched in Williston. That was maybe what you didn't watch in South Burlington, but that was the one I watched in Williston. Also, so how many interceptions did Brady have yesterday?
Would be zero.
Okay, you got that one in there. Congratulations to that one.
Well,
you got that.
It's the first loss in 9 season openers at home in the Belichick-Brady era, so the first time they've ever lost a season opener at home. And then you go through the Tom Brady stats. Brady only completed 44% of his passes, the fifth lowest completion percentage in the start of his career.
No.
Also,
that's horrible.
His streak with a completion percentage of 50% or higher was snapped at 53 games. It was the third longest active streak in the NFL.
Wow, he just sounds horrible now.
But the thing is about this, remember who they were playing. I'm not making excuses for the Patriots. The Chiefs are good, and I've said that all along. The Chiefs are good. The Patriots are good. This team, I saw the hot take from Doug Kide of Nesson. He said, the Patriots offense lacks an identity without Julian Edelman. I'm not ready to go quite that far, but you could feel this team was different without Edelman. Whether it was the third and fours that Brady could have wanted to go to Edelman, whether it was the underneath routes that Edelman does, opening up the vertical routes for a Brandon Cooks or Gronk down the seam, those weren't there. You could feel Edelman's lack of presence. You could feel it making a difference.
All right, I want to get to Eric and Fletcher. It says, Pat's offense was clearly off key. Defense looked like Swiss cheese. They're paying Gilmore a ton of money to let Tyreek Hill run straight by him. He'd be running 100-yard sprints all day today if I were the coach. Correct. Incorrect.
Not correct. Yeah. You're both wrong.
Okay, what are we wrong? Yeah.
If you watch that play, not to get too tech geeky on this, too playbook guy, but they were running a Tampa 2 defense, and Gilmore, you saw him fan out to the sideline. He's got the underneath out route, and McCourty's the one over the top who's the one who blew that play. So it wasn't Gilmore who blew that play. It was McCourty.
I disagree with that because I agree with Colin. I think Collinsworth said, what was he doing? He's the one that's got to pick him up going deep because the safety was on the other side picking up somebody else that was going
the
deep.
Safety, you saw Gill, you saw McCourty start out, and then he broke to the right. Inside when he needed to be breaking to the outside.
Now you're talking about the receiver.
I'm talking about Stephon Gilmore was in coverage with Tyreek Hill. Okay?
Right.
And so they
and
were playing.
Gilmore cut to the outside.
They were playing a zone defense.
Yes.
Gilmore then.
But Gilmore played him to the outside.
Gilmore broke off of Hill and then went to cover what would be like the flats, the out route, about 10 yards out.
Right.
And then that's what allowed Hill to get down the field. The safety help over the top never came. That was on McCourty, not
Gilmore. I'm not so sure about that. I'd like to hear I don't know if Belichick explained that. I'm not so sure about that. I think Collinsworth even said that, well, somebody screwed up the coverage on that. There's
yes,
no doubt.
McCourty, not Gilmore.
One or two. I'm not even sure at that one, Brady. At this point, you know what? I want to point the finger maybe at both of them because that was a lack of communication, to be honest with you. It was absolutely disgusting.
Well, let's get to a little audio here as well. We've got a lot of audio today that we'll play throughout the show. Another issue with the Patriots last night was their pass rush. As we said, Damian Woody, he was on Mike and Mike today. He talked about the front seven for the Pats not being so great.
The Patriots front seven on defense. I mean, they have some issues up front on their front seven. First of all, there's no one in the front seven that you game plan-wise, you look at and like, oh, we need to game plan for this guy. The closest guy you probably think about it is Dante Hightower when he got injured in that game. Right. But the problem for them going forward is, one, linebackers didn't look very fast on defense. You saw Chiefs getting the edge time and time again in the running game. And two, goes back to the point I was just saying, they weren't able to set that edge. And for all the people out there, what I mean by set that edge, when you
So that it cut off there. But basically, the Patriots did not get to the edge well. They didn't tackle well. I saw too many mistakes in tackling as well, letting guys get a couple of extra yards. But Alex Smith had a lot of time to throw, and I don't care how good your corners are. If you can't generate pressure and your cornerbacks are going to play in coverage for 7-8 seconds, you're going to get beat, and that's what you saw. The thing that also amazed me yesterday was that underneath, the Chiefs did a lot of really what they wanted, whether it was Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, or Albert Wilson. A lot of underneath, a lot of crossing routes. The things that usually the Patriots excel at on offense and would be well-versed in on defense, they got exposed by.
You know, just one thing about that. Look, and I love Kareem Hunt, but I don't know if a rookie running back out of Toledo should be chewing you up like that, because if he's doing that, I can only imagine what the other great running backs in the NFL are going to do with good offensive lines and better quarterbacks out there, Brady. That's the only thing I was wondering, to be honest with you. You know, and I know he's good, but he can't be that good, to be honest. Come on, he can't be that good.
I've always been a believer, maybe naively so, that just if you have a good offensive line, that therefore you can have a good running back. That's you know, in the turn of the 2000s, what did we see in Denver every year? After Terrell Davis left, it was Mike Anderson. It was
right.
Landis Gary.
Right.
It was Clinton Portis. It didn't matter who it was. A good offensive line yielded a good running game. Well, I think that's what we saw in Kansas City. I think that's what we see a lot in the NFL. I care less about who the actual back is and more of what the line looks like, and the Chiefs' line is a good one.
Right, Patricia, look, he didn't know what the hell to do. Other than stroke his beard like that, like scratch his head, like what the hell am I going to do now? Where was that Goodell clown shirt there, huh, my friend? He looked like he had been the first year was being defensive coordinator in the NFL. What he looked like?
How happy do you think Goodell is today secretly?
Oh, I think he's just ecstatic, to be honest with you. I think he's ecstatic. By the way, my wife sent us that tweet. I don't know what to make of this. They're saying the Kansas City Patriot game ratings significantly low.
It's the lowest NFL opener since 2009. It's the fourth consecutive year that the NFL opening night went down in ratings. You know, I don't even know what though.
Yeah,
I hate the ratings talk. I can only presume people are just tired of the Patriots. I can only presume that's one reason. Two,
but the opening of the NFL.
Yeah, the opening of the NFL last year. I could understand it because you had the protesting, and it was the first the first wave of protesting, so it was something we weren't used to and made people uncomfortable. It was also an election year. You can understand those things.
Exactly.
Last night, I don't really get. I can only presume it's just Patriots exhaustion.
I can't even really clue it up to that, because I mean, you could have the Cowboys, it could be Cowboy exhaustion or whoever exhaustion.
Yeah.
It doesn't, because you want to hate them. I can't even come up with a reason why the ratings would be. Look, maybe I can understand it being flat for some reason. Maybe something was going on I didn't know about.
What about this? What about the natural disasters? People not watching in Florida or in Southeast Texas?
Not that could have a big part of
that
it.
Could be, because
that
I
could
have
be
to
some
imagine,
of it.
But, I would have to, because those are two big markets.
Yeah, Houston's a big market, no doubt about that. Miami's a big market. That could be part of it. That could be a good reason on that.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know.
Are people really disgusted by the violence?
The violence?
People turned off by football in general.
No, because there's always been violence. I don't think today or the first day of the new season was going to make a difference there. Brady, what's coming up at Champlain Valley game night tonight?
We're going to talk more about the Patriots. I'll tell you again about why I wouldn't put Danny Amendola back in punt coverage.
All right, what do you want to do next? What's coming up next segment?
Let's go with Isaiah Thomas. Deviate from the NFL briefly. Isaiah introduced at the Cavaliers press conference. Interesting press conference. I want
to
hear something.
And we're going to get to the running back situation, too, yesterday. So we'll get a little football in. All that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. You want to get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 655-6672. Craig in Highgate says, I have to say, seeing the Patriots lose their home opener was awesome, and it's time to see another team take over the spotlight. Craig in Highgate, which perhaps is the best text we've ever gotten in our lives, I think. I think this is. Craig, why don't you come on down here? We have a third microphone. It's always good for you. Jason in Georgia says ratings are low because of women's tennis semifinals, along with the 2+ hour first half. People in the East probably bailed at halftime.
It was absurdly late. The game didn't even start until 8:40.
All right, Jason, you need to back away from the keyboard right now, sir. Slowly back away from the keyboard. It wasn't women's tennis. It did run late, though. It did run late.
The game didn't end until past midnight.
Mike in Fairfax, do ratings count streaming? I believe no.
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 Just television.
But it does count DVR, correct?
Okay, yes.
Within a certain time frame or not?
I don't think so.
I don't know on that. Eric in Culture says ratings are awful for Thursday night.
Opening night. Shouldn't be for opening night.
And you know what? In general, though, and I've said this before, and Mark, forget what I said. Mark Cuban said this. NFL is going to be the death of themselves because of oversaturation of the game with the Thursday night, with the Saturdays, with the Sundays, with the Monday night, with the Sunday night.
To me, it bothers me less in the NFL than it does in college. I really generally don't watch much college football anymore unless it's big games on Saturday that we're going to talk about. I got no time for Tulsa and Memphis on a Wednesday.
No, I don't have time for Tulsa and Memphis, and I do the college football show on my national show. Did I mention that? But but you do see the major 7:30 game, 8:30 game, whatever time it starts. This time it's going to be Oklahoma, Ohio State this weekend. You know, stuff like that. You're watching.
But there were still ranked games last Sunday. I mean, West Virginia and Virginia Tech played on Sunday.
Yeah. I watched a little of that.
And I had no interest in that. Right. I watched all of Florida State and Alabama on Saturday, but I didn't watch any of the other games.
I watched all UCLA. I never gave up on that game.
UCLA and
I never gave up on the UCLA Texas A&M game. Absolutely never. By the way, Jason said that was tongue-in-cheek about the tennis comment. I don't know. We're in Vermont. I don't know. It's a little different out here. All right, Brady, quickly get to Isaiah Thomas. What's going on about that?
Yeah, just some of the sound bites Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder introduced yesterday with the Cavaliers. Kobe Altman giving a little perspective on Isaiah's hip, but also he didn't want to let the story become Isaiah's hip. Jason, play us Kobe Altman number 4. This is our buddy, the Middlebury grad, the Cavs GM.
All right.
I don't want this to be the Isaiah Thomas hip press conference. I'm just going to, with all the respect, shut down the hip questions. If we want to talk about Isaiah, let's talk about Isaiah the All-Star. Let's talk about him as a leader and what he's going to bring to this franchise.
You know, I like Kobe Altman a lot. He's great that he came on the show. We were the first ones ever to have him. He answers all my texts whenever I respond to him.
Yeah.
If you don't want those questions, though, then why even have the press conference?
Exactly. That's like me setting you up on a blind date, and you say, well, what does she look like? Brady, if you're going to ask me about her looks, then I'm just not going to set you up.
Right.
Look, great personality. She's tall and blah, blah, blah. But don't ask me about the looks. Well, then don't set me up. Why? What the hell? Come on now, really.
Don't even have the press conference if you don't want all of the questions.
Exactly. What, Jason, what?
What you should do in that situation, you answer the question once, maybe twice, and if they keep asking it like 6 different ways and they're not satisfied with your answer, then you move on.
Because there's no way to lie. There's no way. What's going on with his hip? They don't have an answer. They don't know. They don't know how long he's going to be out. They don't even know if he's going to have surgery again. They don't know if he's going to have to be out after the All-Star break. I don't think they have a damn clue on what
Kobe
going on.
Well, Kobe Altman shed a little bit of light on Isaiah's hip. Jason, give us number 6.
The goal is to bring him back at some point this year and be healthy and compete and get back to IT status. That's our goal and our responsibility to him. but we're just not going to address the specifics of the injury and not going to comment on a timetable.
Sometime this year?
Yeah.
Well, that was a give me, I thought. I just assumed that he was going to play this year.
My first thought, and Chris Mannix of The Vertical, who we've had on a bunch, he said this back in June, that the most underreported aspect of the NBA offseason is the condition of Isaiah Thomas's hip. And Arnie,
I've been screaming about that.
But no,
yeah.
You said...
I didn't have any doctors, but I was screaming
about
that.
You have said his hip is worse than we think. You never knew it could be 8 months from now.
I didn't have a medical report, of course not. But I just, sometimes you use common sense. At first we thought he set out the Cleveland Finals because they weren't going to win it. They were down 2-0. They were going on the road. But I'm like, no, you know what? You don't give up like that. It's got to be worse. It really got to be killing him for him to just give up on the series. And we didn't even know he wasn't going to have surgery until like a couple of months. I didn't like it from the beginning.
My thoughts about that are that, number one, I don't even think about this from the Cavs perspective. I think about it only from Thomas's perspective. I read a timeline the other day on his injuries, and they talked about maybe he could have injured this thing as early as like February, and he played through it, and he played through it until it was totally unbearable. I feel bad that for all the times we talk about an athlete that make way too much money. We're talking about a guy in Isaiah Thomas who literally played himself into the ground, and that's going to cost him millions of dollars. Because you know what's going to happen here. You disagree with this, but you know I'm going to end up being right. He's not going to get a 4-year, $80 million deal. He's not going to get the $175 he could have gotten. No. He's going to get a 1-year, $12 million prove-it deal, and he might get his big money the next year.
I don't think he's going to get that. There's too many big contracts that they're going out to just average people. But don't – look, what he did after his sister died was just absolutely courageous. I will say that. But don't give him all the credit about playing through the hip injury. He was playing through the hip injury because he thought he was having an MVP-type season. He played through the hip injury because he wanted the more money. He wanted to play through the hips injury because he wanted the max contract. He pushed himself. No way the Celtics allow him to play with that type of injury during the regular season, the amount of minutes they did.
But I'm saying
without it, if they knew what was going on.
He could have played. He could have sat a month. Could have sat three
easily,
weeks.
Yeah,
but he didn't.
Because he wanted to win MVP and he wanted to get the max contract.
Maybe
he wanted
the Celtics to get the number one seed.
You know what? No. I first of all, there's no importance in getting the number one seed. There was no importance to get that. You shut him down and you try to win an NBA championship. I think he did a little bit out of greed. I give him credit for what he did after playing with his sister. That was courageous. But I'm not going to give him credit for the other stuff, Brady.
Real quick on this before we talk Patriots running backs here on The Huddle. Isaiah talking about the trade, talking about how he felt, no hard feelings, all that. Jason, give me number 5.
Beautiful suit he had on, by the way.
The red suit.
It was surprising.
Go ahead.
Surprising. It definitely caught me off guard, but it also woke me up. It made me realize that this is a business, and anybody other than probably LeBron James and Kevin Durant and those type of guys can be traded.
Oh, well, welcome to the real world. Welcome to the real world, Isaiah. I actually saw that part when he was talking about that. And yes, that was a very lovely suit. Way to have that made custom. I'm sure that was custom. Unless he brought it off the rack, I'm sure it was custom made there.
Yeah, the nice maroon colored suit.
Very nice. Well, in Cavalier colors, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did.
And they nailed it, too. That was just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful there. So, there you go on Isaiah. Anything more on that other than I do wish him the best. I want you to know that. I don't have no hard feelings for the guy. I just don't think that he did it all for courageous. I think he did it because he wanted to win MVP and he wanted to get the max contract.
For in a league where we call the guys selfish for sitting out, LeBron, Steph, guys sit out, we call them selfish. Now we're calling them selfish for playing. I just don't think it can go both ways.
All right, get to the running backs, because I told you Gillis Lee was going to be used around the goal line. That's exactly what happened. And, in two of the three ones. He had a long one, right?
He had three short touchdowns. Gillis Lee led the team in carries, 15 carries, had just 45 yards, 3 yards a carry, did have three touchdowns, did get stopped twice on fourth and short. James White had 10 carries. Beyond that, Rex Burke had 3, Deion Lewis 2. I'll be honest, I love the Patriots running back depth. I don't like the way they were used yesterday. Part of it because at some point in the fourth quarter you were down big and you were forced to go into throwing situations. You weren't able to run it as much. This team did run for over 100 yards, ran for over 130 yards, as I told you they would. I thought they would run the ball well cumulatively in terms of yardage, but I didn't like the breakdown. I think this team's biggest strengths are the collection of running backs, and I wanted to see them better used both in terms of carries and receiving. Patriot running backs only caught 4 passes yesterday. Yeah. That number needs to be 12-14 for this team to really fully experience what I think they can.
Yeah, once again, I was right. I told you they weren't going to use the collection of running backs. If you have five, you don't have one. Gillislee was only used because of goal line situations and a few other short runs out there to go ahead when they had incomplete passes on first down. Obviously, they wanted to get James White into it. Otherwise, I thought they should have used Burkhead a little bit more.
Yeah,
I was kind of shocked about that, to be honest with you.
I love Burkhead. He was so dynamic, even in that one preseason game we saw him in Detroit. Had a 30-yard touchdown. Catch it there. The Patriots are known, and Josh McDaniels is known as being able to exploit matchup problems, and they didn't use any of those opportunities to use the running backs to help do that. What did we see work for Kansas City? Well, Kansas City threw an 80-yard touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt when he was being guarded, or covered rather, by Cassius Marsh, who's a defensive end and a special teamer. The Patriots are usually the teams that find that matchup.
Right, right.
That's where Burkhead, Lewis could excel, and the Pats didn't go for it.
Did you have Gronkowski anywhere on the sheet to talk about that? His days are numbered too, or no, you didn't have that?
No, because I don't think Gronkowski's days are numbered, but as I've said all along here, Edelman's absence has an effect on Gronk. The team averages 10 points a game less with Edelman not on the field, and Gronk averages 30 yards a game less with Edelman not on the field.
Just on a little side note, oh my, and Brady, you probably didn't notice it, because you're at the bar, you're at the tavern too, you're talking to the guys, you're watching the game, you might not be listening. Al Michaels made a lot of mistakes.
Did not hear any of the commentary.
It's one thing when you're calling a person by the wrong name, you call them, Burkhead or Burkhart, or, that's understandable, you're talking fast. Like me, oh my goodness, if you held me to the fire for every name I mispronounced, it'd be crazy. But, I mean, some of the stuff, like, it's going to be 3rd and 12. No, I mean 2nd and 17. No, I'll figure it out. When there's a penalty, you don't get to add it down also. He just screwed up so much yesterday, Brady.
You know the thing that, again, I didn't hear any of the commentary.
The thing that
I couldn't figure out for the life of me until this morning was the Patriots, their first touchdown, Mike Gillislee scores, and they pull it back because of a holding penalty. But they called it. They said holding.
Right.
And I'm like, why are the Patriots still getting the ball at the two?
It was offsetting penalties.
It was offsetting, but you didn't hear that.
And that's what I was talking about. Then Al said it's going to be 3rd and 17. I said, no, Al, if it's offsetting penalties, you're going to go and leave it there, and it's going to be second down all over again. So he was getting confused. Maybe I should cut him a little bit of slack.
Well, I had no idea what happened, and nobody in the bar did either.
They didn't tell him. They didn't tell Al, because he didn't know either. He just found out as soon as they were running the play. All right, we're going to come back. We'll finish off hour number one. We'll go through the injury report, but it's very significant on what happened yesterday right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, remember now, Brandon Lang going to join us next hour. Also, we got Power Play. Forgot about Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Brady dumbed it down because we just don't have patience to go through 100 callers and people just getting one question right or getting no questions right and having to hang up on you. So, Brady, you completely dumbed it down.
Like, I did dumb it down.
Tom Brady plays quarterback, true, false? Well, was that question five?
That might be false, okay, according to you, in a year.
Wow. Well, you see, now I asked a difficult question. So, Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country. Thanks to our friends over at Laura B's. That's coming up at about 5:40, or actually 5:35. Stick around for that. Brady, give me the injury report. What happened with the Patriots yesterday?
Yeah, two big injuries. Yeah. Dante Hightower, Danny Amendola, they both left the game early yesterday, did not return. The Patriots appear to have dodged a bullet when it comes to Hightower. They think he sustained a sprained MCL, but because of the long week, 10 days, 9 days or whatever until the game against New Orleans, they think he might be able to actually play in week two.
What about Eric Berry? What was the final thing on him also?
Well, Eric Berry plays for the Chiefs.
He's got a
torn Achilles. He's out for the season.
I knew it once they carted him off. It was just horrible for him. I felt bad for him. That's going to hurt the Chiefs also.
As for Danny Amendola, left the game with a concussion. Remember the series?
No big deal on that, though.
Remember the series where Patriots had three consecutive punts because they ran into the kicker twice down by the goal line?
Yes. It was on the third one?
No, it was on the first one, and he actually caught and returned the next two.
They showed when he got tackled, it didn't look like it was head-to-head.
He took a knee to the helmet.
That's what it was. It was a knee to the helmet. It didn't look that bad, to be honest with you.
So, Amendola leaves, concussion, 6 catches, 100 yards, and look, you start talking about where it eroded for the Pats yesterday. Edelman out, Malcolm Mitchell out, Amendola out. They weren't very healthy at wide receiver at the end of that game.
I think the Chiefs got the worst of it, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I really think that loss of Eric Berry was just a killer. And I didn't know he was just sitting there. I'm like, Is he going to get up? Is there something seriously wrong? Because you could tell that something happened to his leg, but it didn't look like it was all that serious, Brady. Well, it was non-contact. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm glad I wasn't listening to the commentary for. I saw it, and then I was there watching it.
Nobody could figure out why he wasn't getting up. We just must be serious. And that's why they waited so long to go to commercial. They thought he was going to go ahead and pop up and get out there. But Patriots, I guess that Amendola is probably going to be back in –
We have to hope that he could be back next week because of the 10 days between games.
That's right. You got
the extra time. So the concussion protocol, you'd like to think he'd be back.
I got to think he's going to be fine. All right, open segment coming up, and then we got Brandon Lang coming up at about 5:20. We got a lot of Vegas stuff to get to as we all give out our picks. We'll have a Jason Sports Center update when we get back, though. We got a big announcement? Well, I don't even know what this is.
No, I'm announcing that on Monday we're going to announce our big contest.
Oh, I screwed that up?
Yeah.
Damn, I screwed that up. Well, we'll have something when we get back. I promise you that right here on 101.3 ESPN. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, Brandon Lang coming up at about, 20 past the hour, Brady, right around that. And then we got Power Play, the noon exciting game, sweeping the country thanks to our friends over at Laura B's. I had 2 assists last night in my floor hockey game, Brady. I was going to throw down. I did have my hockey gloves on, but I was sweating like a pig more than when I play basketball.
Did you wear sweatpants?
No, I wore shorts because I was sweating.
Nobody wants to see those.
I know that, but I had 2 knee braces on my left knee, a knee brace on my right knee, and then a pad around my ankle because they were slashing me. People were hitting me in the shins and stuff.
So you wearing like soccer gear, soccer pads?
One guy on my team wore soccer shin guards. And then pull his socks all the way up. So, you know.
So he looked pretty cool.
He was very cool. He was good. That was the guy with the Griffey jersey, our buddy Casey. So, yeah.
Oh, I like him. I do like him.
And there's like one girl on each team. The girl on our team was actually pretty good. The girl on their team scored their 1 of 2 goals. So, it was a pretty fun night. You're going to have to, you would love it. I'm serious. You would absolutely love it. You would have a good time.
I want to just get there and check you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, I was totally checking and stepping on people's feet, pushing them over.
When
I wanted to fight, but I don't. That's
when I get the staples out of my head, then I can play.
Oh, so much fun, so much fun! All right, a lot to get to. Brandon Lang coming up in about 20 minutes, and of course, then Power Play, new and exciting game, sweeping the country. What's this about? I can't keep a secret, so I'm not allowed to know about any of our contests because I just run around as a blabbermouth out there.
Yes, Monday, 5 o'clock. We are announcing our first. We have many. Our first big contest of the fall. Trust me, if you are a fan of local, it's something that you're going to really, really appreciate.
Wow.
I'll say this. If you're a fan of local and national, you're going to appreciate
it. Wow. You know what else I want just on the side? I want new studios. I want us to go like one of those high-rise buildings here in Burlington, something plush. We all could have.
So you want us to like move down to like where the new mall and when they finish the mall?
Yeah, yeah. I think they should like give us like free rent. We'll move down there. We all get our own offices and stuff. Would that be cool? Brand new state-of-the-art equipment and all that. You don't think we deserve it? Of course we deserve it.
Sure, I think we deserve it.
Damn right. Get the boss in here. Well, I want my own office. I want brand new offices. I want to be on the top floor so I can overlook the lake. I want free lunch every day. And I want a conference room just for 101.3 ESPN. What do you think about all that?
I think the provost is the guy we should call because
exactly.
He's got money.
Yeah, I want all that. There's no reason why we shouldn't have brand new studios with state-of-the-art equipment
We have good equipment.
I don't want good equipment. I want the best equipment. I want state-of-the-art equipment. I want equipment where people go, look at that equipment. That's unbelievable. What I want.
With your national show money, can't you afford to just buy it for us?
Yes, my national show, which, by the way, is on Saturday. So I haven't mentioned that more than twice today. So I got to go ahead and get to the over on that. What's coming up? So we have we'll announce the contest on Monday. But, of course, we're talking about what happened in the game on yesterday. Obviously, not a lot of Patriot fans around. If you want to get on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672, but the Patriots now 0-1, and the worst they've looked in the longest time, since the last time they played Kansas City and lost that game a couple of years ago.
I pulled some of the audio from post-game, from reaction this morning. I want to play some of this and react to it. Jason, let's hear what Tom Brady had to say. Brady, despondent after the game. Give us Tom Brady number one.
I just think we need to have more urgency and go out there and perform a lot better. You know, it's a winning attitude and a championship attitude that you need to bring every day, and we had it handed to us on our own field, and it's a terrible feeling, the only people that can do something about it are in that locker room. And we got to dig a lot deeper than we did tonight because we didn't dig very deep tonight.
Yeah, quarterback rating of 35 is really not going to cut it with 16 to 36. That's not Brady-esque, I'll tell you that.
No, and the thing you don't want him to hear, you can handle a loss, right? Even though you don't want to lose, you can handle a loss if you know the other team was better than you. And as good as I think Kansas City is, the thing that really, really tells the story is that Brady used the words sense of urgency. We need more urgency. He said multiple times we need more effort. He said a lot of times that you know, he was calling out their attitude, said we need a championship attitude. The fact that this team on opening day came out and laid an egg in the effort and attitude department, that's something I'd be more worried about than the on-field play. The schemes and how to run the zone defense into Tampa 2, that can all be fixed. Effort and attitude, that's the one thing you can control, and they didn't have it last night.
All right, give me Belichick. I want to hear what words of wisdom Bill Belichick told the rest of us. I'm sure it was quite enticing. What did he have to say?
All right, well, we didn't really do much of anything well enough tonight to deserve to win. We gave up 42 points, stopped on 4 short yardage plays. Got to coach better, got to practice better, got to play better. We got a lot of work to do. I mean, that's obvious. We'll have to get back to work and see if we can improve pretty much everything. Just not good enough. Andy, Kansas City did a good job. Give them credit. But we just really weren't competitive enough, especially on offense and defense. Just made too many mistakes and didn't play well on top of that. Fundamentals weren't good enough. Really nothing was good enough. So we all got to do a better job. That's going to be pretty much the answer to every question because that's what it was.
Not good enough offensively. And we weren't good enough defensively. So there you go. What more can you say than that, Brady? You hit that on the head, huh?
Well, look, you might not like the way he says it, but he gave a 40-second answer there that was pretty thoughtful on it. I mean, this team, I will say this. To say there was no positives I don't think is fair. There were some positives in this game. Mike Gillisley scored 3 touchdowns on the goal line. You scored 27 points against a team that was 7th in points allowed last year. Steven Gostkowski, a guy that we've worried about, made both field goals and all his extra points. I understand they lost. I understand it's embarrassing. I understand people are upset inside that locker room, and they should be. But don't act like there were no positive takeaways.
I think in his mind he doesn't think there was any positives. I think he's saying to himself, "Geez, that was about the worst game of football we have played since I've been around ever. It just was horrific, especially on a night where they were celebrating and collecting what they did last year." I think he was horrified over that, to be honest with you. I bet he's really sticking it to them this week in practice, no doubt about that. Won't be any weeks days off this week, that's for sure, Brady.
No.
There won't be days off this week.
People definitely have said that the worst days for the Patriots are days after a
loss. Let's get some calls in. If you want to jump in, 802-655-6672. Let's start with Jake in Williston. Jake, good afternoon. You're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
What's up, Jake?
Arnie, well done, sir.
He said well done to you.
Well
He's giving you a compliment.
Well done on what?
Because
on
you
the
were
pick.
Right.
Oh, well, that's a give me, though. I just expected to be done. I expected to be right on that. I didn't know you were going to compliment me. I thought that was a give me. Go ahead, Jake. I'm sorry.
Just another day for you. It's
yes,
okay.
Exactly.
A few thoughts on the Patriots last night, and you know, to say there's no positives isn't really true, but there were some really interesting things that came out of this game that showed up even faster than I thought they would without Edelman, and particularly once Amendola went out. Yesterday, Brady threw almost 50% of his passes were 15 yards or further downfield. He's only about 17 or 18%, so we saw a dramatic increase and the number of balls they made Brady put in the air downfield to his receivers. And you can say, well, he's done that well in the past a little bit, and that's why we were high on Cooks coming in. But what he hasn't had to do is do that with a lot of volume. Oftentimes, low volume can hide efficiency problems. And what we found out is that without Edelman and with an injured Amendola, he cannot move the balls downfield 50% of the time in an effective manner. So the Chiefs really did a fantastic job of blanketing Hogan in the slot. He took a lot of snaps in the slot, but they really did a great job covering him. So if Hogan can't be open in the slot, and Amendola's out with injury, and Edelman's gone for the year, if people are going to make the Patriots throw the ball down the field this year, they're not going to move the ball like we've seen them do it in the past, and it's just a job really well done by the Chiefs.
So abandon ship? Abandon ship or what?
Well, they're going to be fine. I don't think they're going to be the offense we thought they would be or that we've seen in the past. the vast majority of their offense has been run on the underneath and in the middle of the field. And if they're going, if teams are going to force them to throw over half their passes 15, 20 yards in the air, there's more of this to come from the Patriots. They're going to have to figure things out, and kind of a McDaniels is going to have to approach this in a way that he's not had to do for a few years now.
All right. Look, appreciate you getting that.
Jake, very, very smart. Whenever Jake calls in, you know you're about to get something good. It's not so much that the team is incapable of throwing deep. It's that the deep balls that we anticipated going to Gronk, going to Cooks, those were opened up because of the attention that people had to pay to the underneath. So what the team, what the Chiefs did was they made sure, now without Edelman, if they weren't going to utilize the running backs in that capacity, and without Amendola, were they no longer a real big threat to us in those crossing routes. So now we'll focus on the deep stuff and then just allow you to dink and dunk us. When you're down 10 points, 15 points, you can't score that one.
All right, 802-655-6672. Let's go to Casey in Colchester. Casey, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Casey?
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Great job last night in the hockey game.
This was the guy with the Griffey jersey on. I always tell you about it. He's on my hockey team. How did I look at that? You know, I could have gotten credit for that one goal. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I know. I think you should have, to be honest, in my opinion.
It was just too cheap out there. Now, was I playing dirty or was I playing too rough out there?
I think you were playing aggressive. I don't think you were playing dirty, but you were aggressive. People had to account for you. So, I mean, you held your own, and people had to play you honest.
You see there, Brady? You see, I told you I played well. You didn't believe me, man. I was like Schultz out there, which is an old Philadelphia Flyer. Enforcer out there.
Great. You look like Fulton Reed from D2 the Mighty Ducks. How's that?
Well, he did a lot of offensive defense. He stayed in front of the goalie of the team, which is completely with the rules, and he actually helped us get a lot of shots off. So we had a pretty balanced
Yeah, look at you. It's killing you, Brady. It's just killing you.
It was pretty smart the way he was playing. So
Casey,
give him props on
Casey,
that.
You should just put him in goal. He takes up the whole thing.
Yeah, well, we had a French-Canadian goal. He was so I knew he must have been good. He was speaking French.
You could be Patrick Waugh for the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Exactly. So, yeah, I felt like fighting somebody, but I didn't, you know, I didn't want to get thrown out of the league on my first. Maybe next game I'll fight somebody.
Well,
right?
we were also up, so I mean.
Yeah. I didn't want to cost us any points or goals or anything like that.
Yeah.
Points, so. Goals, field goals. All right, but no, I appreciate it. I'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, Casey. I'm the enforcer. I'm the offensive guru on that.
I figure you just talk the other team's ear off, and that's how. Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Here I am! I'm coming!
That's all I kept saying was shoot, shoot, because I was waiting for the rebound.
There was a group of people at the Tavern 2 last night that all said, Brady, you need to do the Arnie impression more. So,
it's a great day. The Patriots lost. We're all going to just drink beer and dance wildly in the streets. It's great.
You cough up blood after you do that.
It hurts. It does. I don't know how you do it.
I don't sound that bad. Burke in Burlington said, hey, brother, he had 12 staples taken out of his melon last summer. Oh, yeah, there you go. I get pain, had a few shots an hour before, then stepped to the plate. That's Burke in Burlingham at the waterfront in Burlington. So what is he saying? Just get liquored up?
He's saying get liquored up and you'll be good.
Yeah, just I really would like to pull them out with a...
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
It wouldn't hurt that bad if I just took some pliers.
Yeah, right.
You know, sometimes a screwdriver, you pull those things out. Or we have a staple remover in the office.
Yeah, let's get more audio from the game.
Get the
How
staple
about that?
Remover. Yeah, what do you got? What's next?
Well, this will make you feel good, Arnie. Yeah. The Patriots defense, a sieve yesterday, allowed 537 yards, most ever by any team Bill Belichick's ever been the head coach of, Patriots or Cleveland. Is it that they played bad, or are they just bad? Well, Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback, he weighed in.
I think offensively they'll figure it out. I think part of the process is figuring out what they are without Edelman and with some more downfield type of receivers. I think on defense is talent. I mean, in the front seven, when Cassius Marsh, who got here, 5 days ago, is playing almost the entire second half, that's a problem. They had to bring that guy in 5 days ago, and they're rolling him out there for that amount of snaps in week one. There's a talent issue here, and you have to start to wonder now about moving on from players like Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins, who may have been difficult to deal with at times, may have been inconsistent at times, but brought a lot of talent to the table. When you're looking out there at the front seven, the secondary side, because they can play.
Yeah, you wonder.
That left them short on a lot of positions. Other than wide receiver, that left them short in a lot of key positions, Brady.
You do wonder if you get rid of Chandler Jones, you get rid of Jamie Collins, you do it for money reasons, you do it because you don't want to pay out, you think you can develop talent. Well, you got to hope that you can develop talent. You need Dietrich Wise to be a guy who had a concussion in that first preseason game. We need to be able to see him get out on the field and contribute, because you're not going to see your first draft pick, Derek Rivers. You need to be able to develop a guy like a Cassius March, because that's who's here.
Get to Herm Edwards. I want to hear what Herm had to say, because he was talking about how Kansas City won the game. Was it good on what Herm had to say? I like his analysis. Give me what Herm had to say, Jason.
They have an offense that all of a sudden it's very hard to predict how they're going to get these guys involved in their offense, whether they motion them, whether they use them as runners, pass catchers. Andy does a nice job of really devising a scheme to attack your weakness.
Jason, we wanted the other one. Give us the Herm Edwards number two on how the Chiefs beat the Patriots.
Multiple formations, lots of motion. They confused this Patriot football team at times, and then they got the matchups they wanted. They couldn't contain the edge on running plays, and at times when they got the matchups against their linebackers, mm-hmm. or their safeties with the tight ends and the running backs, it was a mismatch.
Too fast.
That is the problem. And if you give Alex Smith time, he can diagnose your defense. And the one thing Alex Smith is, he's very accurate throwing the ball inside the numbers. Mm-hmm. That's how this offense is all evolves. Inside the numbers, we're going to attack your inside players.
They gave up the outside where Hunt got along the sideline, yeah. Turned it up along the. I'm like, oh my goodness, they couldn't even push him out of bounds. That was
It down until very, very late in the play when McCourty did it. Yep.
That was insane, absolutely insane. Dan Winooski says, I'm a Pats fan. I'm concerned with Brady's lack of accuracy. It was a bit shocking. I think that's shocking to a lot of Patriot fans.
The reason why is because what Jake just told us on the phone line is that they had to go downfield more than 50% of the time, and you're just not going to be all that accurate when you continuously have to take shot after shot.
Rays and Red Sox, of course, first pitch 7:05 or 7:10, Brady, I'm not sure, but we'll have the pregame going starting at about 6:25.
Yes, 6:25.
All right, what's coming up at Champlain Valley game night then on the short edition?
I'll take you, what did we actually learn? Good, bad, or the other? What did we learn? And I'll get you ready for Giants-Cowboys.
Brandon Lang, our Vegas insider, he's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The commercials are over and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back. You're in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. And Brady, of course, one of our favorite guests as we go out right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, and you can check him out at BrandonLang.com. That's BrandonLang.com. You don't want to look at football games unless you go to BrandonLang.com. Who is it? It's Brandon Lang. How you doing again, Brandon?
My man, Big Daddy from Cincinnati. What's up, buddy boy?
We're ready to get at it. You know, before Brady and I start off with the picks, start off a fresh year, just give me your thoughts on what you thought about yesterday's game. Kansas City was getting, 8, 9 points, 8.5 points, and I'm assuming the money line now looks like a good deal. I like the points. I don't know. What did you think of the game last night?
Well, with the Patriots going 16-3 against the spread last year, they're awful hard to go against. Yet Andy Reid was 7-0 straight up against the spread his last seven games against the AFC East. I left the side alone. I went the total. I went over the posted total. And I went to bed when I got that early fourth quarter and slept like a baby, woke up and got the highlights after that. So I didn't mess with the side. Congrats to some guys on my website who had KC.
Right.
Tough loss for those who had New England. Game would have maybe taken a different route had they picked up the 4th-and-1 to go up 14-0. Three other short yardage situations that they couldn't pick up. So New England left a lot of points on the board. So lost in the shuffle are the three big plays. Kansas City, you take those away. They didn't look as impressive, but the drive at the end of the half was their most impressive drive of the night to make it 17-14. KC's good. I think both defenses have plenty of holes, especially with Barry going out now. But at the end of the day, I think two things. Next time Andy Reid faces an AFC East team, you unload on him, regardless if he's a favorite or a dog.
Wow.
And I think you play every Patriot game over the posted total this year.
Yep.
Because it's going to be the kind of year where their defense is in big trouble, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Is that already on the line, Brady? Did I say that yesterday? Go ahead. Unbelievable.
Brandon, don't feed the ego. Hey, we last spoke, at the Super Bowl, and then we spoke around March Madness times. So that means it's been 6 months since we've spoken to you, Brandon. You're good for a story or two in that time. I know that.
Oh my God! Yeah, we the Ballers premiere HBO down in Miami. It was unbelievable, and the white guy that plays the Rock's partner in the show, the actual guy that his character's named after or played after is this guy Joey Juice. And so I met Joey Juice, hanging out with Joey Juice. The guy knows everybody, and I tell Joey Juice that we're standing there talking, and supermodel after supermodel comes walking up. Ungodly how many hot babes this guy knew. Now, listen, I'm allowed to read the newspaper. I'm just not allowed to purchase it. And I was tempted to call the wife and say, honey, I need a hall pass tonight because this is just ridiculous.
Just because
my man Joey Juice was talking about how he's a handicapper. I'm like, bro, if you're bringing this kind of talent to the table, I tell you what, I'll let you pick baseball for the next 7 days. You go 6-1 or 7-0, I'll put you up on my website. Wouldn't you know it? The guy goes 6-1 on baseball. His name's Joey Juice. He's up on BrandonLang.com. He's got pictures with Brady, private jet with Steph Curry. The guy knows everybody.
Wow.
And so it was an unbelievable party. I will neither confirm nor deny whether the wife gave me a hall pass, but at the end of the day, it was an epic, epic, epic night hanging out with The Rock and in Miami and the models and Joey Juice. So good times ahead. I told Joey, he's inviting me down to Miami like every single week, and I'm like, Joey, I can only handle you like once a year, pal.
Yeah.
Once a year with Joey Juice.
Yeah, remember you got friends here in Burlington, Vermont. Real quick, before we get into the NFL games, I'm just wondering, because you had a historic weekend in Las Vegas because Howard upset UNLV. Liberty beat Baylor. I mean, two of the biggest upsets are probably the biggest two upsets in any one given weekend in college football. I think, $100 on Howard brought you back $55,000, Brandon. I mean, that's obscene. That's crazy.
Right, but here's what gets lost in the shuffle of that story. Nobody had it.
Well, five times, Vegas, I think, had it. Yeah, overseas, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
One guy had it,
yeah.
And really nobody bet it.
Yeah.
Nobody bet it. So it's always great when they say, this is what would happen if you had done it. Well, that's all fine and dandy.
Yeah.
Nobody did it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it was just another late-night game to give ESPN something to talk about, but the sharp money in Vegas was on the top 25 in other games that you could actually get a line on.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, Brandon, back in the NFL swing of things. We got our picks. Arnie, I think you came back and won.
Yeah,
no, you choked it away last year at the very end.
I don't know. You guys kept extending it by 100, so I lost.
I'm going to start off with the picks this year. Brandon, I'm going right at it. Houston -5.5 at home against Jacksonville. I think Houston's the better team. I think they've got the emotional connection. I think Houston wins this game pretty easily. What do you think?
Bro, you're going right down Main Street with some rock-solid numbers in your favor. First and foremost, Jacksonville 0-4 straight up against the spread in their last four season openers. And you got a Bill O'Brien coach that's 19-2 straight up, 15-5-1 against the spread as a favorite. Last but not least, the Jags are 0-9 straight up, 1-8 against the spread. Last nine road openers, right side of the game, Houston, you're on to something there.
Wow. All right, Brandon, let me start off with this. Oakland's going to be a Tennessee. Oakland up as a one-point favorite. Tennessee now a 2.5-point favorite. That's a major turnaround. 3.5-point switch there. I like the Titans. I'm going to lay the 2.5. I think them and Tampa are the two surprise teams. Not surprise teams, but they're the teams that kind of are coming under the radar. I believe it's going to be a good year for Mariota. I'm going to wait for Oakland and Carr to see how they look for the first couple of games. I'm going to get on Tennessee -2.5 at home. What do you think?
Conflicting trends. The favorite in this series is 8-1 against the spread, but the Oakland Raiders are 11-1 against the spread in non-division conference contests.
Wow.
So you got conflicting trends. You're going with the lesser of the two. You're going with the 8-1 instead of the 11-1. I'm not going to touch this game. I'm going to stay away, but gun to my head, I'd rather lose with the Titans than the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm going with Detroit. They're +2 at home. I just like that offense. I know the defense is always a question mark for Detroit. People think Arizona is a bounce-back candidate, but I like Stafford. I like the offense. They're healthy here in week one. Detroit +2. Give me that.
I think you're on the wrong side here.
Oh.
Arizona Cardinals, 7-0 straight up, 6-1 against the spread last seven games in this series, and a near pick'em line. The winner's probably going to cover, which puts that seven straight wins in the series in play. 9-1 against the spread in road openers. So do you lose with Bruce Arians or you do lose with the Lions? I think as a team, Arizona's better. I think the right team is favored. I think you're on the wrong side. Good luck with the Lions, Matthew Stafford.
Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com joining us here on the TikTok of Jewelers Guest Line. Brandon, you know, we all love fine dining, of course. We love the beautiful steaks, the baked potatoes. And sometimes we don't mind if we have a great cheeseburger. I don't mind if I eat from a food truck and it's even C-rated, to be honest with you. That's why I'm taking the next game. Give me Cleveland plus the 9.5 against Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think there's going to be a lot of turnovers. I think Cleveland's going to be a little bit better than you think. I'm not sold on Pittsburgh until I see him a couple games yet. Give me the points at home. I'm eating at the C truck stop there. What's going on with that?
You know, I've been told that I could talk a starving dog off a food truck, and you know what? People are right. In the day, I think you're on the right side of the game here. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 1-8 against the spread in road openers versus a divisional opponent. They just don't play well in this situation. I know Ben is 20-2 straight up in his career against the Browns, but at the end of the day, if they're on the road against a division opponent, just 1-8 against the spread their last nine, that's a boatload of points. Ugly dog play of the day is the Cleveland Browns.
Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com. Always love having him on here talking our NFL picks for week one. Last game, Brandon, I think I'm going with both my head and my heart. I'm a diehard Seahawk fan here. They were blown out in Green Bay last year. I can't get that out of my head. Green Bay's -3. I think the Seahawks are really, really good. I think they're going to lose by at least a touchdown in this one.
I couldn't win this game if you gave me the final score today. Both these teams have destroyed me when they played. The only time I've won the game in this series, if you remember back, it was the Monday night game with the scab officials that allowed the completed pass. That was an interception. Remember that?
I remember Golden Tate, the fail Mary.
Yes, it was. It was the Monday night game. It was the scab officials. It was a horrible call. It gave Seattle the win and the cover. Huge swing in Vegas. Next week, the regular officials came back. So all I'll tell you is this. If Pete Carroll is playing with revenge and he is an underdog in that spot, Mr. Pete Carroll is 14-1 against the number, gentlemen.
Wow.
Right side of the game, Seattle.
Wow. All right, last game for me, Brandon. A couple things I thought I would never say. One, I like the Rams. Two, I like the Rams, and I'll lay the 4.5 points. Am I nuts on this? But Indianapolis and Tulsi, I just can't buy into them. I don't think they've got anything going. I think it's going to be a miserable year from start to finish for the Colts. I've got to take the Rams and lay the 4.5.
I think I'm going to get a T-shirt made for you. On the front of the T-shirt, it says, Arnie likes to put money on, and then the back say, bad teams. Money on bad teams doesn't mix. The Rams, 0-10-1 against the spread.
Ouch.
As a chalk.
Ouch.
In season opening games, woof, including 7 straight-up losses. 1-5 straight up against the spread in home openers. Scott Tolzien, Baltimore, Indianapolis, call it what you will. You could give me free money and tell me to lay points with the Rams, and I would not do it. Good luck with that. I will never touch an 0-10-1 stat, but that's why they call you Arnie and his army of laying chalk with bad teams.
I love it.
Go to ArnieLaysChalk.com.
Hey, Brandon, we appreciate it. Tell our listeners where they can find you, get all your expert picks.
Tommy Brunson, Joey Juice, new handicappers up on the site. If you've not taken advantage of the one-day free all-access pass, $1,000 value, 10 best bets, absolutely free, Saturday or Sunday. It's there for you all year long. Stop by, be a winner. It's a good site right now. It's a great stable of handicappers.
Brandon, have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week. I should charge our listeners for my picks. I'm serious. I've been red hot. By the way, how's Mr. Cold Takes? I haven't heard from him in a long, long time. Mr. Cold Takes, what happened to that guy, huh?
Well, he's been paying attention
to the losers.
People other than you.
Yeah. Let me go say Mr. Cold Takes. I might not hear from him for another year. Because every time if you get something disgustingly wrong, he puts it back out there. I've got nothing disgusting. Matter of fact, after I told him that his Florida State team was going to get clobbered, he goes, oh, this is going to be a good one later today. Haven't heard from him ever since then, Brady. Don't know where he is.
Arnie, you're an awful gambler. Every time you tell me to take something. Yeah, you're wrong.
Well, you don't listen to me. You just
because you say, oh, you got to parlay it. You got to take, you know, six teams, and this team's
exactly
going to do this
right.
And take this in the first half.
Exactly.
And you I'm an idiot too because I listen to you.
No, you only eat one potato chip. You just bet one game. Yeah. You can't do that. You got to have more. You got to have a bunch of potato chips. You got to have a bunch of games out there. What's wrong with you?
I can win $5 at a time. That's all.
Oh, stop it. We got a bunch of complaints that Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country, goes on way too long, and that Brady makes it way too hard. A lot of people have complained to us, sent us emails, called the boss. Laura Bees wants a winner. So start lining up now. Brady dumbed it down to all proportions. I mean, it's so disgustingly easy if we don't get a winner right off the bat. Matter of fact, first person that calls, if you get them all right, I'm going to make it a $100 gift certificate thanks to our friends over at Laura Bees. That's a $100 gift certificate thanks to our friends in Laura Bees. So what are you waiting for? It is dumbed down, and the answers are super easy. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. All lines wide open. Call now. Be back for Power Play, the new and exciting game. Sweep of the country. This is 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Brought to you by Laura Bees Restaurant in Milton. Great steaks, seafood, and grass-fed burgers with family-friendly prices.
All right, you guys are killing the game now. I mean, people just want to wait till we give a couple answers so they can call in. No, you call in now. Otherwise, we just won't play. 802-655-6672. Let me tell you how to play the game. We ask you a question. If you get that question wrong, you'll hear this. You will. And we move on. If you come on and go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you got question four wrong. Well, you're probably right, but you'll go ahead, you'll still hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we'll ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, you win Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. The first person that calls, if you get all 10 questions right, we'll also make it a $100 gift certificate thanks to our friends over at Laura Bees. And we do have a line open right now at 802-655-6672. Let me give you the three possible answers. Brady, because the Giants are playing the Cowboys in the first Sunday night game, the three possible answers: Odell Beckham Jr., Dez Bryant, or both. Odell, Dez, or both. So, Brady, if I said to you he plays for the New York Giants, you would say?
OBJ.
Oh, you are so good at this game. If I said to you he plays for the Dallas Cowboys, you would say?
Dez Bryant, and he still caught it.
Yes, he still caught it. And if I said to you this guy plays in the NFL, you would say?
That would be both.
Okay, people, don't make it any harder than it's got to be. Odell, Dez, or both? Odell, Dez, or both? Really, it's not that hard. So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play. All right, who are we starting with, Jason? Are we starting with Carrie or Nick?
Carrie.
Carrie in Burlington. Carrie, are you ready for Power Play?
Yes, ma'am.
What are the three answers, Carrie?
Odell, Dez, or both?
Confidence level high. And I will make it a $100 gift certificate thanks to our friends at Laura Bees if he gets them all right off the bat. Here we go. Plays in the NFC East.
Both.
Birthday is in November.
Repeat that.
Birthday is in November.
Odell.
All right, remember, people, it's not the final Jeopardy question. You don't get like 5.5 minutes while Alex Trebek goes to a commercial break. 802-655-6672. Nick in Middlebury.
No, Nick's not there.
Oh,
but we
Nick's
got,
not there.
The phones are ringing off right. The hook, Jason.
You know what? Nick said, the hell with this. This has got to be too hard. I'm still going to make it a $100 gift.
Oh, we got Nick. He's back.
Oh, you bet. Nick. Nick, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Nick, what are the three possible answers?
Odell, Dez, or both?
Confidence level not high.
I like Nick.
Not high, though. It's not
but
high.
I like him.
You know, Nick, I'm going to make it a $100 gift certificate if you get them all right. How about that?
That sounds great.
Birthday is in November.
Dez.
See, I know people. I'm a good judge of people. I know people, Brady. I'm a people person.
You switched it up.
I'm a people person. I could tell. Who's going to get it right? Who's not going to get it right?
How about Travis in Essex?
All right, Travis in Essex. Travis, what are the three answers?
Odell, Dez, or both.
Okay, confidence level high with Travis.
A lot of Cowboy fan, a lot of Giant fans.
Birthday is in November.
Both.
Plays in the NFC East.
Both.
Played his college football at the same state he was born in.
Dez.
At least he got two of them right.
He did get two.
He's got two of them right. That opens up a line. 802-655-6672-655-6672. Justin in Plattsburgh. Justin, are you ready for power play?
Excellent.
All right, Justin, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear. What are the three answers, Justin?
Odell, Dez, or both.
Oh, confidence level high with
Justin. I like Justin.
I do. You know what, Justin? Okay,
we're both New Yorkers.
I'm going to make it a $100 gift certificate just for you if you get them all right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Birthday is in November.
I'm going to say Odell. Okay.
And I just gave that answer out. Confidence level not high for him. Confidence level not high for him.
Are you listening,
him.
Justin?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And that opens up a line. 802-655-6672. Patrick in Burlington. Patrick, are you ready for power play?
I am so ready.
Oh, wow, wow. What are the three answers?
Dez, Odell, both.
Oh, confidence. We got a winner. We got a winner.
I think he gets four.
Go Oswego State.
Oh, that's right.
We got a winner. We got a winner. All right. Plays in the NFC East.
Both.
I like him now. He's going to win it now.
Birthday is in November.
Both.
Go Lakers.
Played his college football in the same state he was born in.
Odell.
Ooh. Has been a first-team All-Pro.
Dez.
Drafted higher in the NFL draft.
Dez.
Oh. You were right, though. You got four right. You were right about that. You liked that guy because he was an Oswego guy.
We say it Oswego, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's close enough. Tomato, tomato. 802-655-6672. Now you got, like, what, four or five answers, people?
Now we should get a winner.
Yeah, we should have a winner. Kevin in Cambridge. Is that in Massachusetts? Is there a Cambridge? Is that in
There is a Cambridge in Massachusetts.
Kevin, where are you listening to us in?
Cambridge, Vermont, my friend.
All right. Where is that? How far is that from Burlington?
About an hour.
Okay, perfect. What are the three answers?
Dez, Odell, or both.
I still like confidence.
I like him. Yeah, I like Kevin.
Plays in the NFC East.
Both.
Played his college football at the same state he was born in.
Odell.
Birthday's in November.
Both.
Has been a first-team All-Pro.
Both.
No. Not everything's going to be both. Not everything is going to be both. Brady, you love the both or neither one.
Yes.
That's like taking the SAT. Both or neither is answer E usually. Never guess that in the SAT. Never guess that, Brady. It's always B or C is the guess.
Yes.
Forget about A or D or E. And it's never all of the above. You never guess all of the above, Brady. That's never going to happen. All right. I don't know. What's the next
one? We got Kyle in Essex.
Kyle in Essex. Kyle, are you ready for power play?
Skyler in Essex. Yeah, I'm ready.
Skyler. What are the three answers, Skyler?
Odell, Dez, both.
He had to think about that. Confidence level not high.
I thought he said his name was Tyler.
Well, close enough.
Yeah, Tyler.
Oh, Tyler.
Yes.
I don't think he knows what his name is. Here we go. Plays in the NFC East.
Both.
Birthday is in November.
Both.
Played his college football in the same state he was born in.
Odell.
Has been a first-team All-Pro.
Dez.
Draft higher in the NFL draft.
Odell.
Has made three Pro Bowls.
Dez.
No, goodbye. Very good, though, for a guy that I didn't think was going to get one right. I was actually shocked about that.
I think this is it.
This is going to be it.
This is it.
Adam in Williston. Adam, are you ready for power play?
Yes.
What are the three answers, Adam?
Dez, Odell, or both.
Confidence level high. It is high for Adam. Here we go. Birthday's in November.
Both.
Plays in the NFC East.
Both.
Played his college football in the same state he was born in.
Odell.
Has been a first-team All-Pro.
Dez.
Drafted higher in the NFL draft.
Odell.
Has made three Pro Bowls.
Dez.
No. You're getting him on that one.
Somebody just said that.
Do you want to take one more?
We can take one more.
Jeff,
that's it.
Yeah, Jeff in Waterbury. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What are the three answers, Jeff?
Dez, Odell, or both?
Played his college football in the same state he was born in.
Odell.
Has been a first-team All-Pro.
Dez.
Plays in the NFC East.
Both.
Birthday's in November.
Both.
Drafted higher in the NFL draft.
Odell.
Has made three Pro Bowls.
Both.
Was an All-American in college.
Odell.
No, that's not. Let me give the answers. Brady, you really made it. You got them this time good. You got them this time good.
Yeah, I did.
Plays in the NFC East, that's both. Birthday's in November, that's both. Played his college football in the same state he was born in. That's Odell. That was in Louisiana, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Has been a first-team All-Pro, Dez. Drafted higher in the NFL draft. That's Odell. Has made three Pro Bowls. That's both. Was an All-American in college. That's both. Has more NFL touchdowns, which we never got to. That's Dez. Scored a touchdown in his first, I'm guessing, NFL career game.
Yes.
That is both. And his father played college football at the same school he did. That was Odell. Thank you. That is Power Play. Thanks to our friends over at Laura B's in Milton. Family-friendly dining. They now have, of course, brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. And, of course, great beer specials. Thanks to our friends at Laura B's. When we get back, a song that we heard on Colin Cowherd's show that you guys are going to love. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, I heard this song on Colin Cowherd's show, and I immediately told Brady, we got to play it. We got to play it. We got to end the power play early. We got to play this. It was the funniest thing I heard. I just loved it. And, of course, having to do with the Patriots, I said we got to play it. So this was heard earlier today on Colin Cowherd's show. I think it was fantastic. I love that.
Dude backs up Tom Brady.
I thought that was fantastic. Take it from Aerosmith. The dude looks like a lady. So I thought that was funny. If you saw the video they put up, Colin put up like Jimmy Garoppolo and all that. I thought it was funny, Brady. I love that.
It was. It was funny.
I'm like, you got to pull that. You got to go ahead and pull that.
You know, you got to remember to give a shout out today. At the end of the show, when you always say, oh, for Brady and Jason, I'm Arnie. Today, intern Lance. Intern Lance started yesterday.
Yes.
But he has a very, very early morning internship around his classes at St. Michael's College.
Oh, I don't like that.
So you're never going to see intern Lance.
Oh, that sucks. Are we going to have any more interns?
We have like six interns now.
Oh, get out of here. Any female interns?
They'll all start. Yes, we have two.
Get out of here.
Intern Devin and intern Julia.
Nice.
And they're going to join intern Logan and intern Jordan and intern Lance.
Wow. You got a full class of interns coming in.
A full crew.
They can play basketball with you guys. There's at least five of them.
Yeah, why am I not teaching this? I don't understand. Why am I not teaching this?
Because they want to graduate with honor.
Where's Middlebury? They need to learn something.
Where's Middlebury? How come they've not called me back? All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend. I was going to say sorry the Patriots lost, but I'm really not. Champlain Valley game night coming up next for Jason, for intern Lance, and the new five interns, Sleepy, Dopey, one of the other dwarves out there. I'm just kidding. For Brady, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley game night. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.